Welcome to Legend Lore with Luis and Lorne, where we talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
I'm Luis, and I'm a developer at Paizo, working on the Pathfinder Lost Omen line. I've been playing tabletop RPGs for over 15 years, written for dozens of Pathfinder products, and I also write the Monstrous Physique block here on the No Direction Network.
And I'm Lorne, and I've been playing tabletop games for almost 20 years. I write the Dear Dova Queen advice column and the Bend the Knee blogs here on No Direction. You can also watch me play in the Adventurous, Stellar, Fall of Plaguestone, and Three Ring Adventure podcasts. And this week, we're talking about the Primal Spell List.
Before we get started, we just want you to know that even though we know a lot of what we're talking about when it comes to Pathfinder, we want to remind you that we're not providing any official answers to any questions. We're here to offer advice, and you can use that how you like. Remember that the official word from Paizo is the only official ruling out there. But don't forget, it's your game. Do what works best for your table.
Now, when talking about the Primal Spell List, we are talking about the magic of nature in all of its forms. This could take the form of the strength of a devastating earthquake, maybe the speed of tornadic winds, or maybe the flexibility of a winding river through a craggy canyon.
It also takes on some other forms beyond just what you see around in nature. It might come from within. You might be blessed with the speed of the stag or the might of the bear. All different nature aspects show up both inside and outside. It's primal. People are primal. You have primal instincts. It can show up in lots of different ways.
And we have some good examples of folks from popular culture who use primal spells. And they might not necessarily be quote-unquote druids if you were to build them, but they still have some aspect of primal spells to their character. For one example, look at Captain Planet and each of his planeteers. Look at the benders from the Avatar cartoon series. Poison Ivy with all her plants. Radagast from Lord of the Rings. Maybe Storm from the X-Men. Maybe even Thor, who is so typically like a fighter, but he uses all of these lightning powers. And last but not least, Elsa from Frozen. You know that's some primal magic.
Yeah, primal magic is all over the place. It shows up throughout pop culture in so many different ways. And like you just said, Lauren, just because you're using primal magic doesn't mean you're a druid, which means there might be characters out there that you don't think of as druids but are actually doing really primal things. Mr. Freeze has primal magic in the form of a freezing gun. It's not the typical druid thing, but if we were to represent some of the abilities that he were to use through the primal magic spell list, I mean, Wall of Ice is a primal spell, and that's something Mr. Freeze can do, even though he's kind of technologically based.
This week we're not doing the Batman test, it's the Mr. Freeze test.
Yes, I guess so. How is this spell list like one of Batman's villains?
Yes. And now primal magic in general is going to be used to heal. It's going to be used to harm through elemental means. You can befriend plants and animals and sometimes fungus, and you can take on their characteristics. You're going to summon powerful elemental forces such as deadly ice, raging infernos, corrosive acid, and sizzling lightning.
Yeah, Anytime the elements show up in pop culture, it's probably a primal spell, or there's probably a primal spell that gets pretty close to doing the effects of what you saw in a show or in a book or something.
Now, in the core rule book, the folks who have access to primal spells are druids and sorcerers that are elemental or fey-blooded.
Yeah, and beyond that, with the Advanced Guide playtest, we also know that witches will probably have the potential to get access to the primal spell list based on which lesson they end up taking. Much like the sorcerers, their choice at the start of their character creation will determine which list they have. So witches will most likely continue to be included, assuming nothing changes too much from the playtest.
Now, the way the primal spell list functions specifically in-game is you get access to the same heal spells that the divine casters get, like clerics. You can deal just straight-up damage with fire, ice, acid, electricity, and a lot of bludgeoning attacks, say, for representing your water or earth. You're going to be summoning animals, plants, fae creatures, elementals, and possibly my favorite, you're going to be summoning giants. You're going to have a lot of utility spells, and a lot of them transform the environments, like Entangle. You've got some self-buffs in there, like Magic Fang. You've got Haste.
Yeah, in game terms, the Primal Spell List is really kind of the raw power list. Unlike Arcane, which is more of the controlled understanding of magic, and you can kind of have a utility list for most anything, or the Divine List, which is all about manipulating life and things like that, and the Occult List, which is more focused on knowledge. Primal is just where all the raw power really lives. Some of the best destructive, most powerful spells live on that list. Some of the best self-buffs. I mean, I think Magic Fang, like you mentioned, is really strong for a first-level spell. And just anything that's uncontrolled power, it lives in the Primal spell list.
Now, here on Legend Lore, we really like to give you examples. And we already gave you some from pop culture. Now we're going to give you some from in-game. Luis and myself have prepared some characters that would use the Primal spell list. And we're going to kind of talk about what they would have, what spells they would pick. Luis, why don't you start with yours?
Okay. Well, I worked out of the core rulebook as best as I could, so we had two options for classes on that, either the Sorcerer and the Druid, and I took on the Sorcerer just to see what I could do with the Sorcerer, because it's not a class I think that most people would immediately think of with primal spells, thanks to 2E changing things up very recently. And when you take the Sorcerer, you have two different ways you can gain the primal spell list. You can choose your bloodline to determine that, and you have either the elemental bloodline, which makes a lot of sense. You know, you can tap into the power of fire or water for the elements and get the primal spell list. But the one I chose, which is I think the more fun option, is the fae bloodline. It's all about having that connection to the first world and fae magic and things like that, and that immediately inspired me to do something that is more of a trickster style sorcerer. And I've decided, I don't have an exact character in mind for this, but if I were to do something, I'd want to end up playing more like Loki, more of a trickster-style, mischievous character. And the Fae Bloodline gives me a lot of extra spells, so things like Ghost Sound and Charm and Hideous Laughter, things like that, which are all great for doing lots of mischievous things. But then if we look into the Primal spell list, it turns out there's a lot of other things that I can take that still kind of complement this theme. So I have a lot of spells that I went through. For the purposes of these builds, Lauren and I decided to assume that we weren't going to be anything higher than level 10, so I don't have to sit here and read every spell that I've picked from the entire Primal spell list. But this is all the way up through 5th level spells. And I picked two cantrips that I think complement this well, which are Dancing Lights, which you can manipulate and move around to kind of trick people or get them to follow the lights, which works well with the ghost sound you get as part of the Sorcerer Bloodline. I also took Tanglefoot, which is a new cantrip in 2nd edition. Grow some vines or some roots and use those to keep a person in place. Pretty good. You can use that to, you know, have the typical roots that come up at the beginning of a race or something to hold your opponent back. So first level has a few spells that I liked. I actually picked 4, even though normally I'd only be able to prepare 3 if I were something like a druid. But I picked Grease because I think the go-to goofy, zany spell, use that to either trip someone or I don't remember if 2nd edition lets me do this in anymore, but I remember a lot in 1st edition I would have my players use Grease against my monsters and lose swords and spears and wands left and right just because I happen to have bad luck with that and fail my save and drop so many things due to Grease. I also chose Hydraulic Push, which is good for moving things around on the battlefield, which you might be able to use to knock someone into a pit. Ventriloquism follows up with what ghost sound can do, where you can throw your voice and trick people with that. And I also took pest form to allow me to transform into small animals, much like Loki could transform into animals. For second level spells, I took deafness to make someone go deaf for a little bit. That's a fun trick, I'd say, if I were a chaotic neutral trickster god. And glitter dust to just either potentially blind someone or at least cover them with a lot of glitter, which is probably my actual worst nightmare in real life. For third level spells, I grabbed blindness to follow up with deafness. Slow, which just makes it harder for everyone else to do things and lets me kind of have more fun. Ha, you only have two actions. And stinking cloud. You fill a room with stinking cloud, everyone has to either get out or deal with it. It's a big stink bomb. It's great. It's perfect fae thing. For fourth level spells, I grabbed one, which is technically an uncommon spell, but, you know, I'm a trickster god. I probably have ways to get this, which is hallucinatory terrain. You make everything around someone look different and mess with their heads a bit. And finally, I grabbed at fifth level, Mariner's Curse. You have to stay near the shore or you get really sick. What a terrible curse that Loki has brought down on people. So as you can see, there's a lot of weird debuffs control spells out here in the primal spell list, which feels like might have been originally the purview of the arcane spell list, but primal spell list is just as capable of doing a lot of that stuff too. So how about you, Lauren? What do you have?
So for my character, I picked the first Pathfinder Society character I made for second edition. And this coincidentally is one of the characters I played in No Direction's playtest of Pathfinder second edition. Whoa. This is Ainagi. She is my, get ready for a lot of keywords. She is my Mongolian storm druid who is an archer from horseback that shoots lightning bolts out of her bow.
Awesome.
This character is so much fun, and one of my favorite things about her and about the edition is just that you can make a character like this. This would have been really difficult in any other game system, including first edition Pathfinder, and in second edition you can do this at level 2. Storm Druid at level 1, and at level 2 you pick up an animal companion. So, in going with the theme of a storm druid who uses a bow as her focus for the spells, I picked largely storm-based things, or things that I can thematically describe as storm-based. A lot of folks who have watched my spellcasters and some of the podcasts will notice that I pretty much have to reflavor every spell. I can't help myself. It's just so much fun to me to take the spell description from the core rulebook and throw it away and just make my own. Same rules, always the same mechanics, but my own theme of it. And so that's what I've done here. My cantrip, I've picked Electric Arc. What Ainagi does is she pulls two arrows out of her quiver, charges them with lightning in the way that, what's that called? What's that physics toy called with the two prongs that look like an antenna and the lightning goes between them?
I know what you're talking about. I couldn't tell you what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called, but she pulls out two arrows, she does that thing with them, and then shoots them at two different enemies. So you get the Electric Arc as one of her cantrips. I've got Gust of Wind as one of my first levels, and let me mention, I've got a lot of first levels on here that Ainagi just prepares at higher levels, because the first levels are just so good for her. I've got a Gust of Wind arrow. I pull it out, I kind of enchant it with some roiling winds, and fire a gust of wind at someone. Oh, and a side note, one of my favorite things about these is that a lot of these are two-action spells. So my third action can actually be to fire the bow and get a little bit of arrow damage, since that's what I'm doing with my description anyway.
Yeah.
I've got Magic Fang because I ride a horse, and the horse is actually a really powerful animal companion. So if we get stuck in combat, Magic Fang on the horse, big hooves clomping down on the baddies. I've got Pass Without Trace, because Ainagi's actually got a little bit of stealth in her, too. She, you know, she's kind of good at the stealth missions. Kind of functions a little bit like a scout. I've got Shock and Grasp, in case someone gets a little bit too close. Wham! Lightning Bolt in the chest, you know? And that's a definitely one that I like to prepare at higher levels. For second level spells, I've got Obscuring Mist. And for me, I just a roiling storm cloud can kind of descend upon the area for whatever purpose I need it for. It's a great utility spell. Really covers a lot of bases. For level 3, a Wall of Wind. Obviously, this is very thematic, you know? Like tempestuous winds, like block arrows coming in. And of course, for level 3, the big one, Lightning Bolt. I love this spell so much. It's been a favorite of mine since second edition. I love it even more than Fireball, which I think might technically be better, but Lightning Bolt's just more fun for me. Fourth level spell, this one's tons of crazy cool. Weapon Storm. Now the description on Weapon Storm says that you swing a weapon and it multiplies into like a cone or like an area of effect to hit all the targets there. But nowhere in the actual rules of the spell does it say it has to be a melee weapon. So what Ainagi does is she pulls out one arrow, she pulls it back, and as she fires it, it just multiplies into a rain of arrows and hits all the targets in that cone. And then for my fifth level spell, I picked Elemental Form, where you technically turn into an elemental, but I don't want none of that. I don't want to turn into an elemental. I just want to kind of surround her and infuse her with storm winds using elemental form.
Awesome. I love it.
So we have some of our favorite primal spells that didn't quite make it to our builds that we want to call out.
Oh, yeah. There's so many great spells on the primal spell list. So I think we each picked one from every level for that. I mean, cantrips, everyone can kind of pick their best on there. And there's whatever. Electric Arc is probably most people's favorite for that. I ended up choosing, just because this is a thing that only really shows up on the primal list from what I know. Actually, I can even check right now really quick. But I ended up choosing No Direction because it's very close to my heart. It's a wonderful cantrip here. Oh, look, it actually has been expanded to the divine and the occult. So wizards don't know about No Direction, and, well, that's okay. No Direction is just fun. It's very flavorful. You know north, very helpful. Or at seventh level, you know how to get back home or back to your town or wherever in particular you need to know that you've been to before. It's just a nice, useful thing to have, a compass.
Speaking of useful things to have, one of my favorite spells in the whole game. Now, it's not exclusive to the primal spell list. A lot of them get it. Prestidigitation. This spell is just so useful. You just got out of the sewer and you're stinky. Prestidigitation. Now you smell like lilacs. You're trying to give someone like a really fancy drink. Because you're trying to, I don't know, roll diplomacy and you want some bonuses or something. But they're being picky. This drink's too hot. This drink's too cold. Boom. Prestidigitation. It's exactly the way they like it. You don't like the color of the new magic boots you got. Boom. Now they're blue. You know? What do you need? Prestidigitation has an answer.
So, let's look at our first level spells. There are a lot of these spell lists as you go up in level. There's fewer and fewer spells with each spell level, but first level has so many to choose from. It's kind of hard to choose, but I ended up choosing Shillelagh just because it is the equivalent to magic weapon. The other three spellers have magic weapons, but primal spells have Shillelagh. Take a club, make it very, very big, and just beat someone up. There's no better self-buff, I think. Just take your big stick and swing it around. It's great.
I've always loved Shillelagh. It just, it feels like such a meme to just rip a stick off a tree and then shillelagh someone with it. It's so much fun. And then for my spell, I picked the classic Burning Hands. This spell never gets old. I've been using this spell since 2nd edition D&D. This spell never gets old. Just set a whole room on fire.
Nope.
For our second level spells, I have picked Acid Arrow. God, I think I just picked out all the classics, maybe. Acid Arrow has always been so good, and it does so much damage if you have the time to wait for it to keep ticking on the enemy.
Hey, they're classics for a reason, so we love them. I chose what I think is a very unusual pick for second level. There's lots of good second level spells, but I went with Phantom Steed. Phantom Steed in second edition is pretty cool. You cast it at the start of the day. It lasts 8 hours. You have a ghost horse, or just some equine creature. I guess technically you could have it look like a centaur, which would be equine in nature. Phantom centaur. And you get to ride that around all day. You can't really fight with it. That's fine. It's just your transportation for the day. But as you get to higher levels, as it gets heightened, it can eventually walk on water or even fly. It just can do so much, and it's very useful for just one casting of a spell. You can have it up all day and get around pretty much wherever you need to, and depending on how you fight in combat, you might even be able to use that as your way to get around in combat without having to use spells like fly or anything else. Just have your Phantom Seed to take care of everything.
From other game systems, you're kind of used to thinking of the arcane spellcasters when you think of utility spells, but stuff like Phantom Steed just really kind of shows you that Primal's able to do utility just as well.
Absolutely.
All right, for our level 3 spells, I've picked the gold standard, Haste. There are no situations where this spell is not useful. More attacks makes it easier to move around. You always need haste.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in second edition, it's not as game-changing as it is right out of the gate. You can only cast it on a single person at first, but once you get it to heighten, then you can get your whole party. But it's still great. Even just putting it on the team fighter would be awesome.
What it does in this edition is it gives you one extra action, which you can
only use to strike or to stride. So only attack or move.
So do you not have the extra economy for that extra attack you want? Boom, haste has got your back. Are you out of position? Boom, haste has your back.
Classic spell, and still probably a gold standard for third level. The other gold standards for third level are probably damage-wise, maybe fireball, but as you mentioned earlier, fireball doesn't do it for me, and I think third level, my favorite is Lightning Bolt. It just, I don't know, there's something about a straight line, depending on how things go, you can get someone from really far away with a Lightning Bolt. It's just so much better, and there's less of a chance of you hitting your party members with a Lightning Bolt compared to Fireball, so that alone is just makes it so much better to me. And so the other thing is, so many monsters seem to be resistant to fire compared to electricity, so just having a different damage type is just much better in my head. So moving on to fourth level spells, I chose one that I think 6-year-old Luis decided, no, this is the best primal spell, which is dinosaur form. You turn into a dinosaur. You can turn into a T-Rex or a Stegosaurus, or there's a huge list of dinosaurs here, and then you could just fight as a big dinosaur, and as you heighten it, you just get stronger and stronger and even bigger. In fact, you're a dinosaur. What more do you want?
For fourth level, I picked Fly because there's just something so nice about the barbarian racing towards you at breakneck speeds, great axe in hand, mouth foaming with rage, and you just fly away. You just fly on up, and then you just magic missile or whatever you want to do. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. For fifth level, I picked Summon Giant because one of my favorite of the prototypical fantasy monsters has always been Fire Giants and Frost Giants. I just think these dudes are so cool, and I like having them in battle beside me.
Giants are great. I mean, imagine a giant slash a dinosaur combo on the battlefield. They'd be best friends.
That'd be pretty great.
For fifth level, I chose an uncommon spell, so you probably won't be seeing this too much in play, but it's a classic from previous editions of the game that I just like so much. It's Tree Stride. I just like the idea of walking into a tree and walking out some other tree 5 miles away and just using that to transport yourself around. And at higher levels, I think you can go hundreds of miles at once from one tree to another. And it's just more interesting, more flavorful than a standard teleport. And it's harder to really follow someone with that, I think. Walk into a tree, you could end up in any tree elsewhere, anywhere, and it's just more interesting. It's a cooler version of teleport to me.
For sixth level, I picked my all-time favorite spell. I have never loved a spell more than I like this one. Well, that's not true. No, my all-time favorite spells from previous editions. It didn't make it here, but this one's close. I picked Baleful Polymorph, and this fits so well with your Loki build. Are you having troubles with the fighter in front of you? Perhaps the mayor done pissed you off. Boom, you're a fuzzy rabbit. I will name you Fluffy, and I will pet you, and I will give you carrots. It's just so much fun to make your problems not go away, but become cute, humiliating creatures.
It is such a great spell when it happens to, when everything works out for you. I use this to great effect to defeat the final boss of the Yuletide Terror adventure that Alex was running us through. So I turned Krampus into a duck at the end.
Now, I will go ahead and mention my first all-time favorite spell that I was talking about is just Baleful Polymorph on steroids. Do you remember Polymorph Any Object?
Yes.
That had so much utility and so much fun. You could take your knight clad in heavy armor, weapon, huge as can be, polymorph them into an arrow, fire them over the castle walls, dismiss your spell.
What?
Even better, dismiss your spell in mid-air, and the knight has a lance, and they just land on them with the lance.
Oh my goodness.
That spell was so much fun.
I love it so much. So for sixth level, I just picked Lightning Bolt on steroids. I picked Chain Lightning, which is just even easier to control than your regular Lightning Bolt. You pick one person, lightning, and then it goes to the next person you want, and the next person you want, and it just kind of jumps all over the place, hitting only the bad guys, and it's just raw damage, raw power of lightning, and makes it so much easier to handle than some fireball here, and in theory, you can hit so many more people than you would with, like, the likes of fireball. Also, I don't think there's a chain fireball equivalent at sixth level, so ha, take that fireball, lightning wins in the end. So for seventh level spells, I ended up picking Mask of Terror, which gives you a very scary face, and anyone that tries to do anything harmful against you has to attempt a will save, or they get scared of you. You become frightened too against Mask of Terror if you fail, which is very nasty. Frightened 2 is a very good debuff, regardless of what level you're at. That's lowering everyone's AC by 2, everyone's attack rolls by 2, their skill checks, saving throws. All of it is going down by 2, and that happens with every person trying to attack you. Every round, there's a chance that Mask of Terror will make them frightened. And on a critical failure, whatever they were trying to do to hurt you, they also just lose that action. So if they were trying to swing a sword at you, they get scared and don't even attack you. They just back off. It's very powerful, especially once you get it up to the 8th level version and can cast it on your entire party. It makes it really hard for enemies to contend with you, because every turn there's a chance that they get scared, and then you can take advantage of that and come back and beat them up even harder. But there's another spell, real quick, 7th level, that I think I wanted to point out, that she's also good, which is like just this close from being my top choice, which is Regenerate. Just lots of healing. And you can get your limbs back and stuff in case you get your arm chopped off. So that's fun.
For 7th level, I picked a spell that lets you control, alt, delete your problems. It's the Finger of Death, baby! You just go, you're dead. And you just kill someone. It's so good.
Hey, what more do you want?
Right? For 8th level, I have a very thematic spell. This is like, when I think of liches, I think of this spell. Imagine a lich standing in the center of like a mass battle that you would have seen in Lord of the Rings or something, just flanked by soldiers all around, and not friendly soldiers, enemy soldiers. This lich is gonna cast Horrid Wilting. It's gonna just suck all of the water out of the bodies of, get this, every target that they want to hit within 500 feet. It's no longer all targets, and it's not limited. All of them. All of the targets in, wait for it, 785,000 square feet. I'm not great at math, but I had a calculator tell me that number when I put in that this circle had a diameter of 1,000 feet. That is a lot of enemy soldiers to be taking 10d10 negative damage.
Wow. When you put it, when you give it those numbers, it really puts it in perspective. Especially when it's like every soldier except those four people, because they're my friends. But everyone else is gone.
They just mummify on the spot.
So, I think these last few spells that I end up picking just lean into the destructive raw power of the primal spell list. For 8th level, I chose Earthquake, which somewhere within 500 feet, somewhere within that 785,000 square foot area, I can make a 60-foot-wide earthquake just show up and shake the ground. Sure, cool, it's kind of tough to stay there. Or it can cause big fissures to open up in the ground and people potentially fall into them. Collapse structures. It's a lot. It's an earthquake. You just throw earthquakes at people, and it's really hard to survive that kind of thing. For 9th level, continuing my destructive rampage, I chose Implosion, which is an even more Control-Alt-Delete spell, I feel. You choose a person, and they start collapsing within themselves, which sounds like the nastiest way to go, if you ask me.
It sounds painful.
Yes. Collapse within yourself, automatically taking 75 damage, and it's a fortitude save, but even still, that's a good amount of damage. And then every round you can maintain it and sustain the spell and choose another person to start collapsing within themselves. So if you're fighting an enemy party, just every round start collapsing them from within. It's pretty nasty.
For my 9th level spell, I am also on a warpath, but honestly, I think a lot of that might just because at the higher levels, most of these spells are rampages in a box. So the box that I'm about to open is called Storm of Vengeance, where you just take all of the worst weather that there can be and drop it on your foes. You've got acid rain. You've got hail. You've got lightning. You've got rain and wind. You've got thunderclap. And these are not pick one. All of these happen in an area. For our 10th level spells, the big dollar spells. You can cast these at level 19 and 20. I decided to not go with a rampage spell. I have picked revival because when I think of epic nature magic, I picture like some fae spirit or some very powerful druid leaning over the body of their loved one and summoning this magical green energy that goes into their chest and revives them, brings them back to life. To me, that is the pinnacle of the primal spell list.
No, destroy. Destroy it all. Humanity is a plague upon the world, and nature will take it back via cataclysms. Cataclysm is the big brother to Storm of Vengeance. It's got a huge range. It's a range of 1,000 feet. And you just throw a world-ending cataclysm, which has so much stuff going on at once. It's got acid rain. It's got an earthquake. There's freezing winds and lightning lashing out everywhere. There's enormous, terrible hurricane force winds and a tsunami that shows up alongside a wildfire. All parts of nature decided, this is it. I'm tired of you. I'm going to destroy you. And you take, I don't know, something like, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 21 d10 of damage.
Oh, jeez.
Everything hits you at once. It's destructive. Not only that, nature knows just how powerful it needs to be and reduces resistances to all damage types by 10 when you get hit by a cataclysm. So even if you got some fire resistance or cold resistance, that might not be enough. Nature is just too powerful. Primal power!
Oh my god, I love it so much. Now, you've heard from us talk about the primal spell list, but it's our turn to hear from you. So we're going to answer some questions. From user Buford, what's the best spell to help bring in the harvest?
Well, it really depends. I would probably summon a phantom steed to help pull the cart or things like that, or might summon some other animals to help out. It really depends on that. I think you have much better options here than I have, though. I think you gave this a bit more thinking through than I did.
This is definitely one of my favorite things to think about is the mundane uses of magic. And I don't think that we can put a single best spell on for bringing in the harvest because you don't know what levels of spell you're going to have. You know, Farmer Joe might not have access to 10th level spells. So if Farmer Joe
throws a cataclysm to bring in the harvest,
exactly.
Destruction.
So I think that your low-level farmers, okay, could really use a spell like Ant Hall to just carry more grain, or that's going to help a lot. Or they're going to use mending to fix the plow or just get more life out of it. Your mid-level farmers that have magic, could you speak with plants? Hey, pumpkins, y'all aren't looking too good. You doing okay? You need anything?
Oh, hey, Farmer Joe. We could use some more water, please.
Or get this. You could cast Summon Giant and say, hey, Giant, take this ridiculously massive plow and do this field for me. It'll take like half the time or less. But then you might have... Okay, you might have a druid who comes to town to solve a famine. And they're going to come in here at this epic level that they are, and they're going to cast Primal Phenomenon. This is basically Wish. The druid comes in, they commune with nature, and they say, grow. And nature grows.
Great. I love it. Maybe we'll need to bug Paizo to have a harvest spell in the future. I could actually see there being a ritual that a whole community gets together to do so it does all the harvest work for them. That'd be pretty fun.
That would be good.
Next question here is from user Lava Being, who asks, are there any spell options that are only available to primal casters? And if so, can you talk about what part each spell might play for a party or for that primal caster?
So, your primal exclusive spells, the ones that are only available to the primal casters, they do a few things. And none of these things, none of these concepts are exclusive to primal. Okay? But you do still have some exclusives, and they all tend to do either AoE utility, single target utility, AoE damage, buff spells, and summon spells. So an example of one of your AoE utility spells, you got Moon Frenzy. Like a whole bunch of people around you just kind of wolf out. You've got Pass Without Trace. You've got Wind Walk, Entangle. For some of your single target utility, you've got all of these transform spells. Animal, dinosaur, insect. You've got Speak with Animals and Plants. And you've got the classic Tree Stride. For buffs, we've already talked about Magic Fang and Shillelagh. For area of effect damage, some of the primal exclusives are like Fire Seeds, where you kind of make a whole bunch of mini fireball acorns and just hand them out to be thrown. Hydraulic Torrent. For the primal exclusive summons, you've got Plants and Giants. Now, again, none of these ideas are exclusive to primal. But if you're going to think about what exclusively primals can I use for a party, you're going to be mostly, I think, leaning on AoE utility spells, because there's more of that than there is of anything else in this vein.
There are a few also. We mentioned earlier that there's ways to control the environment with primal spells, and there's a few of those here that are exclusive to the primal spell list, like Shape Wood would help you, you know, remove a wall in a house that you're using to, if you're sneaking around, I don't know, the bandit house, you can use Shape Wood to use that to make a hole or pass wall to get you through, as you mentioned. But there's also just some exclusive damage spells like Volcanic Eruption. Every spell list has their own unique spells that are exclusive to that list, which cover any number of bases. It's really just what you think you would like to use more if you are a primal caster or compared to an arcane caster. But also there's Dinosaur Form, which is exclusive to the primal list, so obviously that's important for every party. Everyone needs to become a dinosaur.
From our patron Boyd, how does primal magic interact with scrolls? What about making them and adding spells to your spell list or repertoire?
Well, you can make scrolls of any tradition. There's no exclusivity to only arcane or divine scrolls or anything like that. You can have primal scrolls just like you could have scrolls of any other tradition. So you mechanically, there's no difference there. You might flavor them a bit differently. They might be old druid chants that got, you know, written down somewhere or something like that, but for the most part they work mechanically the same way. As for using them to add to a spell list or a repertoire, right now the current primal casters, which are the sorcerer and the druid, don't have to worry about that too much. They don't have a spell book where they add new spells to it. So either you're a druid and you know all the common spells at all times and you can just have them available all the time, or you're a sorcerer and you have all the common spells available to learn to add to your repertoire at any point. The only reason you would want to use a primal scroll to help expand that is if you find an uncommon or a rare spell. When you do so, then you use that to learn that spell and gain access to that spell, and suddenly you can then prepare it as a druid or choose to add it to your repertoire as a sorcerer.
And I feel like for the primal spell list in particular, you've got these great chances to really make scrolls fun. You talked about finding old druidic chants or whatnot, but why even use parchment for a scroll when you could be using bone sticks and stones? I love carving runes into a stone. Carve a rune of fireball into the stone and huck it at someone. That's your scroll, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And for the most part, there's not too many uncommon or rare primal spells anyway, so you won't really be dealing with all of this stuff too much. But it's always fun for any other class to maybe, hey, I'm a wizard, and I'm very well versed in magic and have the ability to use other tradition scrolls through my skill feats or whatever. Hey, here's a scroll of dinosaur form. So Our next question here comes from user Brian Lane, who asks, what are the best primal spells to pick up when multi-classing into druid or sorcerer?
That really just depends on what your character needs. The primal spellist can really cover a lot of bases. If you're a predominantly melee fighter and you multi-class into druid, maybe you need some better ranged DPS. Boom, acid arrow. Or were you already a good ranged DPS character? Were you an archer? And you have enemies fast approaching. Boom, entangle. Are you a monk? Magic Fist is going to be your best friend at these low levels. Or what about if you just love animals? Why don't you take Speak with Critter?
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, there's lots of good self-buffs. Maybe taking the druid level and then getting Shillelagh to go beat up things is the way to go. Or if you're a monk, you can go into druid or sorcerer, get access to Magic Fang, and make your punches all the more stronger. But there's a few different ways you can go about that as well.
Now, I feel like this next question is more of a Louis question. This is from Fatas Frodo. With gods and magic, and Extinction Curse adding more spells to the primal list, particularly the non-incapacitation, debuffing, and control spells, the issue of lower level slots on a direct effect spell fading into uselessness has been addressed. Do you think the list is able to do much compared to other lists?
Do I think the primal list is doing too much compared to the other lists? It might be just a little bit at the moment, but that's bound to happen. I mean, there's no way to put out an equal amount of spells for every list with every single release of a product, but I know the design team constantly keeps an eye on which spells are making it in where. Every time that a new set of spells is made, they look those over to make sure, one, that they're well-balanced and well-designed and interesting spells, but also then keep track of what spells are we putting out into the game at that point. So if one spell list is getting a bit more than any of the other lists, what's bound to happen is future releases will then make up for that. So the APG will probably give you some of the other utility spells that you would like for the other list if you think there's too much debuff in the occult spell list, for example. They might then introduce more debuffing spells for the other lists in the future. So it's just a matter of waiting it out just a little bit. But for now, our primal spell list may be a little bit better, possibly, but I don't think it's such the case where everyone will be like, no, primal spells are the only way to go, because obviously they have three more options than all the other spell lists. It's not going to be a game breaker, and it'll be fixed soon enough.
Now, you've heard us talk about how to harness all of these raw and primal forces of the universe. So make sure you check out the rest of the great content on the No Direction Network. If you like this show or any of the other content there, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/nodirection.
Until next time, I'm Luis.
And I'm Lauren.
Thanks for listening to Legend Lore. And as always, it's been legendary.